Cat Williams or Shannon Sharp recently released a clip of Cat Williams saying that he's the richest. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure that some of you have, but I want to react to it authentically. I did react to some stuff on After Hours last night, but I want to react to this because I want to see exactly what they're talking about. He said that he was the richest. I don't know the context behind it. Let's get to it.
I'm one of the richest men that ever lived. And I don't mean, please don't look at my net worth. I saw my net worth. I had that on me.
I don't even.
I swear to God. What I'm saying is.
All of these celebrity net worth, before I really break down this video, all of this junk be cap. It's all cap. It's 100% cap. I hate when people come to me and they say, Anton, but such and such is worth this. You don't know. They don't even know. You have no clue what these people's celebrity net worth is. Sometimes it's way understated and sometimes it's overstated. I don't even know who wrote this stuff. How do y'all come up with this? Celebrity net worth says that Cat Williams' net worth is $2 million. How? The dude do like 100 shows a year. How? He do like 100 shows a year. How is his celebrity net worth at $2 million? That don't even make sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. Stop, bro. Dude has been getting bags for so long. Anton Daniels, the famous American YouTuber and business coach, has gained immense popularity for his lifestyle related. Who wrote this? Known for being a user experience expert and practitioner as well as a UX evangelist. Let's see. Wrong. They don't even got my. I'm not 45. I wasn't born in 1978. I was born in the 80s. Birthplace Detroit. That's right. Ethnicity. Oh, I'm a Native American now. I didn't know that I was Native American. Yeah. Celebrity net worth, $4 million. Wrong. Height, wrong. I'm 5'7", not even 5'10". $4 million as of 2023. This junk don't, it's wrong. It's wrong. All of this stuff is wrong. Y'all keep thinking that y'all know what's going on out here in these streets. Stop looking at these stupid websites thinking that y'all know. It said that I'm Native American. That should give y'all a red flag right there. Let's get back over to Cat Williams.
Like, I'm saying my net worth is less than my last Netflix deal. You understand what I'm telling you?
Make it make sense.
But I'm fine. Jesus was poor. Jesus ain't had nothing. So why don't we be mad? You say I don't have nothing.
They ain't had the amenities they had back then, okay?
Say it again.
We got different amenities now.
Not more than gold. Gold was the amenity of that.
And why is people so confused? If anybody has ever met me in person, I'm 5'7". What is the... Y'all want me to say that I'm 5'10"? No, I'm not Native American and I'm not 5'10". I'm 5'7" with a huge... Well, let me be quiet about that second part. But anyways, let's continue.
That time, we still got gold. Gold still run it.
They have the Rolls Royce. They got a... You can buy a ass. That's what they call it in the biblical time. They were cheap.
I'm saying if you really want to say, I'm saying a color man is cheap. So back in the day, I would get my girl a donkey. Today we get her a Cullinan. But I'm saying whoever, whatever it is, I'm saying we. I'm saying because what we gonna do? I done already told you, I'm one of the richest people that ever lived.
Yes.
Only in the fact that when I wake up in the morning, no matter where I am, I don't need nothing. Whatever I need is right around me. And whatever I don't have, it's only just because I don't have it. It's not because I can't get it. All I got to do is want it, and it belongs to me. So because of that, because I'm favored by God, like when I see people's wives and stuff, I don't even look at them. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to look at nothing I don't want to have because I know how blessed I am. If I look at it, I got it. Yeah. That's how Diddy be feeling.
Now, come on, man. Come.
Oh, man. Oh my God. But I think I understand what Cat Williams is trying to emphasize right now. He's saying that he's covered by God. He's saying that he's covered by God. And he's also saying that there's nothing that he cannot have because he's spiritually connected. And his net worth and the amount of money that he generates is significantly more than people think that it is, but that's not the totality of how he views himself as being rich. I'm gonna watch the whole interview. I'm gonna take some time and throw it in my car when I'm riding and checking out stuff. But I'm assuming that is what he's referencing, that's what he's saying. He's saying that I'm worth way more than whatever it is that y'all think that I got. But my riches is not just defined by my ability to be able to make money. My riches is also defined by my mindset. Anything that I want, I can have. I don't even look at things that's not good for me, such as somebody else's wife or another chick or a certain type of chick. Why? Because I know that based off of, not necessarily just based off of the money that I have, but based off of how blessed I am, I have to be careful with the things that I desire because I'll get it. That's deep. That's deep. A lot of people is missing it. And maybe I'm translating it wrong because I've only seen 2 minutes of this clip so far. But I think that's deep. I think it's incredibly deep. As people that are successful or people that are blessed, we got to be careful with what we ask for, what we wish for, because we just might get it. It may not be good for us. It may not be good for us. And your money and your resources is not a reflection of how blessed you are. You way more blessed than the money that may be in your bank account, even if it's significant. I think that's incredibly deep. Super deep. That's what I'm translating as far as what he's saying. In between the jokes.
So you're not supposed to look at anything that you don't want.
Not me personally, just because God has given me literally everything I ever even pump faked like I want. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing is I don't have a type of woman. Every woman that I ever had as a type, I ended up getting her. Now she's not the type anymore. Now I understand that every woman is a one of one. Yeah. Like you can't.
That's deep.
Really,
that's
have real types. Mm.
Mm-hmm. You financed your first stand up. You had 20. It cost you 22.
I don't know if Shannon really caught that. I would have dug. And again, it's in the moment. I think that Shannon Sharp is obviously an excellent interviewer. So let me give him his props for this. But I don't think that Shannon caught that. I don't know if they cut to the next scene, but I think that was something that you should have dove a little bit more into.
1,000. You had 25 to your name. Yeah. What? Why did you decide to do that? You believe that much in Cat?
I believe that much in business. In business, the goal is for you to become independent and be the boss, take the responsibility, and also get the profit.
Okay.
That's all. How can I be looking for you to put me on if I wouldn't? And if I can't show you what you missed out on, why would you believe me?
Facts.
Now, the fact that I was able to do it 12 times.
Talk your talk, cat.
That's the real thing. The thing, the part that I'm able to do it all across the country. The fact that every time I do a tour or a special, you think, well, that's sponsored by somebody. Somebody did a good job. No. No, just the guy they're kicking around. Just the one who might mentally not be all there. He's the one picking the outfits, writing this guy's material, booking the shows, making sure he gets there. He's the one hiring the other comedians. But hey, I knew that that's the end goal. So if that's the end goal and I'm there when I start, why would I deviate from that?
Right.
Talk your talk, cat. Talk your talk. You bet on yourself. You bet on yourself. You know what the end goal is. It's just a matter of actually going through the process. The results is for everybody else because you already know exactly what it is that you're trending towards. The process is for you. The results is everybody else. And so now all he got to do is endure long enough to actually show you what he already knew was going to come true. And yo, this is deep. It's deep. It's super deep. This is... Of all of the things that I reviewed of this interview in the clips, because I haven't watched the interview from one whole thing to the other, for me and how I see things, this is the best part of it. I know that we all enamored with what he said about Steve Harvey's wig and and Cedric the Entertainer stealing jokes and Chris Tucker and Kevin Hart and all of that stuff. But for me, this is the real jewel. This is the jewel right here. The jewels is that he understand who he is and he don't feel like any weapon formed against him can prosper because he don't need no handouts. He's covered by God and his blessings come. That's the whole idea of the scripture when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. All you got to do is be productive and believe, have the faith of a mustard seed, show that you had a faith, but actually put the action behind it because faith without works is dead. This is the best part of the interview. The net worth was the thing that hooked you in. The thing that he's telling you where his true net worth lie and that the money is just a reflection of the effort that he put into it is the real gem.
Remember, I my goal was to get this far in Hollywood and still have a virgin asshole.
Jesus Christ.
And I never had sucked a penis. That was my only goal. I didn't want to get with a white woman because I was scared she might have me running down the street like Jonathan Majors.
There you go. Become a whole cat.
Not because I didn't like white women. I think white women are as great as any other women. But I'm not going to act like I'm not scared of them. I have a reason to be scared. You could be Kang the Conqueror, and they could take your rabbit ass down in 2 weekends. And that's the truth of the matter. So I stayed away from that. And remember, I told you the drug story from when I'm in the park.
Yeah.
So these are just the things. I had all of those when I came in. I already was ready for that. That's what they don't like.
I did not know you're telling me and showing me a side of the business that I didn't know. That you guys are, man, the competition, the competitiveness.
That's all business. I don't care if they're selling Coke. You wouldn't believe the things that Coca-Cola says about Pepsi. You wouldn't believe the water conversations between Dasani and Liquid Death. Like in all business, in all sport, competition is a driving force. And I don't require anybody to be better. Who am I? I just require if you're a loser and you've taken shortcuts at every chance and you've made sure that you didn't put anybody on that really had a work ethic and was a God-fearing person and you helped that. If that was never you, then don't act like that's you. Don't get out here now that you don't do stand-up and start acting like, oh, you're not sure why you don't do stand-up no more. I heard you got run off. You better be careful. The nigga that run you off gonna show up and he gonna tell everybody. I mean, what you gonna be able to say? Nothing. Why you think I speak with such clarity? I'm actually involved in each one of these stories I told you about. Right. Right.
The one...
It's like a laugh with so much confidence. He talked with so much confidence. I agree. It is competition in everything that you do. Everybody think that everything is kumbaya. Yo, when people say it's enough out here for everybody, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. That's the biggest lie that they ever going to tell you. It's enough out here for us to get. But just like y'all say, well, Anton, everybody can't be a millionaire. Well, I'm not telling it to everybody so everybody can become a millionaire. I'm telling the people that I love, hopefully, they're the ones that become the millionaires because everything is competition. Even when it comes to this internet right here, right? When it comes to content creation, people move their slots around other people because they know that they can't compete with certain people. I don't care what time that I stream. Whether I stream in the daytime or I stream at nighttime or I'm building up a platform or I'm streaming on Monday or Thursday or whatever, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but I understand that it's competition. And my mindset in it and going into it is, okay, all I got to do is take three people from you every time I stream. And don't allow for you to take anybody from me when I stream. All I got to do is take three people from you every single time. That's my goal, three people. Have three people look at both of our stuff and say, okay, I'm going to choose to watch Anton today. Or I'm going to choose to watch Anton tonight. And I'm in it for the long game, so I know that you're going to miss. You're going to want to take December off, and you're going to say, well, you know, it's vacation time. And when you take December off, I'm going to stream all December. And when you come back in January, they're going to be so used to listening to me. By the time they tap in and see what you're doing, they're going to be like, oh, this dude is corny over here. This is where the real entertainment is because I already know that I'm better than you. I know that I'm better than you as a content creator and as a streamer. The only difference is that they don't know that I'm better than you yet until they get an opportunity to really view me. And so I look at every single thing as competition. Corporate America, as you go up in corporate America, there's less jobs. It's a pyramid model, not a pyramid scheme. It's a pyramid model, right? Meaning that the lower you go down, call center jobs, whatever, mailroom or whatever, it's going to be a whole lot of them jobs. Amazon warehouse worker, it's a whole lot of them jobs. Drivers, delivery people, it's going to be a whole lot of them jobs. But as you continue to scale, whatever corporation or whatever business model that you're in, there's going to be less and less and less and less competition. So now the question you have to ask yourself is, A, am I good enough to compete once I go up the ladder? Or do I have imposter syndrome? Or B, or B, how do I separate myself to sell myself differently? One of the ways that I did it is that I started creating content that then documented my journey. Obviously, my content changed as I got out of corporate America. But I started to separate myself and I was using social media and content creation in order to create more visibility to make sure that people that didn't even know me tapped in with me, which helped me grow inside of corporate America. And it also helped me to be able to communicate more effectively. And so as you go up, as you go into these higher positions, they don't have applications for you to fill out. They have executive recruitment teams. They have headhunters. They have people to go out and find the proper person for that position. And so how do you network effectively? How do you put yourself in that position? How do you make yourself visible in the eyes of the people that's actually trying to find an executive to run that particular company? It gets more competitive the higher that you go up. So what I'm saying is it doesn't matter whether you're in corporate America or whether you're doing content creation or you're in real estate. There's always going to be competition. It's somebody that's looking to take the slice. In your relationship, there are women. That's what they're competing for. They're competing for the best available option. That is what hypergamy means. It means that there's a small demographic of men that is in the 1% or the 1% of the 1%. And there's a whole bunch of people that want all of the same people at the same time. So then how do you separate yourself and make yourself available to the man that you actually want? Well, guess what? It's not based off of how you feel about yourself. It's based off of whether or not the demographic that's choosing you is looking for what you have to offer. And so you have to separate yourself in competition. everything you do, it's competition. And so I know that I'm better than you because I'm going to continue to work at, refine, and become the best version of myself every single day, regardless of what I do. I'm willing to go through it in order to learn it. And similar to what he's saying with regard to comedy or whatever, you build your fan base 3 people at a time. Whether I got to go out in the streets and I talk to people and I make myself likable, or whether or not I got to stream when you're not streaming on the same times that you would normally stream, so that they can then check into me and see what it is that I'm talking about and realize that I'm much better at you, much better at what you doing than you doing it. Your fan base is my fan base. Your fan base is now my fan base. Now you're competing to keep the people that you thought subscribed to you, but they only watching me during the time that you live. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Comedians, as we've been sitting here doing this interview, that you hold in very high regard is Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle walked away from 50 million. You said it was more. Tell the story.
That's right.
I'm going to let you tell it.
No, you're
No,
the best.
I want you to tell it.
You really are the best. You're proving it here today. As much as I'm proving it, you proving it. You proving it. Yeah, that wasn't the thing. It wasn't. People say that. He lost $50 million. No, that's not even close to what happened to this dude. And until you understand what happened to the dude, you don't understand what happened. Like, no, not
you, Pete,
they
Charlie
offered him
Shirley.
$50 million and he turned it down. Who gonna turn down $50 million? Now, I've had to turn down $50 million 4 times. 4 times. Just to protect my integrity and that virgin hole I was telling you about. Right. Because P. Diddy be wanting the body. And you got to tell him no. You got to tell him no. I did. I did. See, I got the receipts for everything I'm telling you. That's why I can say them so freely.
Kid, I need another one. You here, get your another one.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Come on.
Because early on, you was accusing me of being.
Cat, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, but you know, some of these people.
Martin tried to put me in my first dress. When he had to go on his hiatus, he tell me, Cat, when I come back, I need you. You my young partner. You my brother in comedy. When I come back, just promise me that my next movie, it'll be me and you. We going to do it together. We going to do some buddy cop shit. I said, Martin, you got my motherfucking word, my nigga. Go do what you got to do. When you come back, I'm in your movie. Don't trip. I don't need to see the script or nothing. You know, we get in that office and this fool pull out Big Mama's House too. I almost died.
Don't block nobody. If they not being disrespectful, don't block nobody. Just because somebody got a difference of opinion in me inside of the chat, don't mean that we gonna block them. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. I'm okay with people having a difference of opinion. As long as they're not being disrespectful, and y'all know what I mean by saying being disrespectful, talking personally about my family or something like that, if they just don't like me, they are more than welcome to stay inside of the chat. Just chill, let them rock. Don't block nobody that just regularly disagrees with me, all right? Let the chat do what the chat do. We're not tripping off of that.
And I gotta read this script from all these good white people. Where this nigga want me to get in a dress with him. No. And I'm literally saying to everybody, why is he in a dress again? You already played the old lady as an FBI agent. We can play anything now. We can be playing a dog catcher this time. Why do we need to be in a dress? And I get so mad, I say, you don't want me. You want Brandon T. Jackson.
And Brandon T. Jackson was right up in there with a dress. Yes, he was. And Brandon T. Jackson was right up in there putting a wig and a dress on, following right behind one of his idols. And again, listen, y'all, this is why you have to be careful with who it is that you idolize, who you follow behind. And where is Brandon T. Jackson today? He ain't doing nothing. Not that I'm aware of. No, you can't. You should not be cussing in the chat. Where is Brandon T. Jackson today? we have to be responsible with our platforms for where we lead people, because they're going to follow us. They're going to follow us. Never put on a dress for TV, y'all.
That's who they went and got. Twice I said it, they went and got them. Just like I'm telling you, I had that other dude's work. I had all of it. All I did was say, I want to punch it up so it's not offensive to real niggas. And that's how I got in this position.
I sure hope I have a Club Shay Shay after this year.
It's going to be in a dimension it's never been.
Yeah, it's going to be.
The greatest thing floating in 2024. Mark the words. No way. In a whole different realm of business. Oprah coming next. Once I establish this as a place of truth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch.
Did he not predict it? Man, he just predicted that this was going to be the biggest interview in 2024. I don't see no interview topping this. I don't see no interview topping this interview at all. Not one. Not one. I got some people on my list I'm chasing. But I don't see any interview topping this at all. Not one.